family of four. You could purchase your...
Boys and girls, this is Adam O, and I'm here today in downtown LA with my striped shoes and my jacket, a microphone hot as the sun, Miller's High Life around me, and the beer cans all over my hair. I'm like my father on acid, and I'm wearing a flamingo jacket. People think I look gay. What's gay? I'm not gay. I'm not gay. I just have style and I'm over fucking weight. So it comes off as a breath of scratching in the microphone. Scraped up knees, Echo Park bicycles all around me. Beer cans everywhere. It doesn't make sense, but I'm flowing. And then I get a call from my boy Vince at Skid Row Studios and says to me, "Hey Adam, are you having fun on the radio? Because I can't tell sometimes if you're fucking with us or if you're real. Hey Vince, it's Adam O, and I'm in my parents' backyard smoking all their dope. But you know what? I'm alive, Vince, and I'm at Skid Row, and I do the Adam O podcast, and I wear glasses, and I keep on flowing when I look into Jeremy Hansen's book. Oh, it's amazing poetry. Oh, I'm sweating. Time to lose the manic energy and talk into the open eyes of the microphone. I'm sweating. Let's go to the Juno. I'm sweating. I'm cute. And I play music in Echo Park. I have my girlfriend. She walks her dog. It's soft. I'm loving. I'm a poet. Oh, baby. Let's get some espresso, baby. No, Adam. Let's fuck.
Hello, boys and girls, it's Adam O. What's going on, Daddy-O? Taking off my t-shirt, taking off my jacket, taking off my panties, hoes. Okay, let me just catch my breath on the radio. All right, what's up, guys? Can you hear me? Can't hear you. What's up, guys? Everybody say hi, Adam O. Hi, Adam O. Everybody say hi, Adam O.
Hi, Adam O.
Everybody say hi, Adam O.
Hi, Adam O.
I can't hear you. Everybody say hi, Adam O.
Hi, Adam O.
Okay, so we're with an amazing comedian. He's here at skidrowstudios.com. Her name is Julia Prescott. Julia, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a dress that is it's like a plaid, you know, skirt thing with a black top thing, you know.
Hmm. This is like Juno 2, the radio program.
Yeah.
Boy meets girl, girl meets boy.
Exactly
Batman
like
Jew
Juno.
Looks into his eyes. I like your glasses, Julia.
Hey, thanks. I like yours too.
Thank you very much. Positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
I like
positive.
That. Your dress is very attractive.
Thank you.
Very, very attractive.
Thank you.
Very, very attractive.
I appreciate it.
Julia, I don't think you heard me. You're making me blush.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. So, Julia, you're one of my favorites because you're sweet, you're nice, you're funny, you're hot, and you're young.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you're a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You smell like roses.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where did you get your glasses from, Julia?
My optometrist, but they are made by Ray-Bans.
You always wear red lipstick like David Lynch?
Yes, exactly like David Lynch.
You should be one of his
films.
I forgot
the idea.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're the most attractive comedian in L.A.?
Thank you.
Wow.
I don't know about that, but
Schwing.
I appreciate it.
All right. All right. So tell us about your shows.
Which ones? TV or comedy stuff?
Well, let's start with the live comedy and save the...
Okay. This is very timely because I produce a monthly show at the Little Modern Theater. And it's called Your Favorite Show, and it's taking place tomorrow night at 10 p.m., and it's free. And... excuse me, Eric Andre's on it, Brent Weinbach, Joe Wagner, who's a friend of ours.
Oh, yes.
Jake Wiseman.
Joe. I love Eric Andre. Mm-hmm. The other guys I've never really met, but they sound terrific.
They are terrific. Jake Wiseman does a terrific podcast called The Morning After with Eli Olsberg. And
really?
He pairs porn stars with comedians.
I really want to get back to that, but I still want to talk about your outfit.
Okay.
We have a whole hour to kill, Julia.
Okay, great.
Okay, so tell us, where did you get your dress from?
Moncloth.com.
What the fuck is that?
It's a website that has clothes that are new, but they look vintage. I collect a lot of vintage dresses, but sometimes I like things that are newer because they don't fall apart. So
Yeah, I'm falling apart like a cheap suit. So wait, let me ask you a question. So your dress is right there. Is that like your attire for your stage act too? Or because I always seen you in a dress. You never are just in like t-shirts and jeans.
Yeah,
and like little tennis shoes with holes in them, and you say hi to people. You're always polite. You're always proper. You always look like that scene in the Ace Ventura movie where he meets the Monopoly guy. Hello.
Yes,
exactly.
I've never been told that, but yeah, no, I totally see that. I don't really have like on stage, off stage attire. Everything's just all the same.
You wear a bra?
I do.
Just curious. Sorry. What are you, 18?
24.
Okay, so your mom's okay with me saying, hey, Julia, you're on my radio show. Do you wear a bra? Okay. dimples. Did you ever have braces as a kid?
I did.
These are beautiful. They're straight as an arrow.
Thank you. I had them when I was 13.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How did you look before you were 13 when you were 12?
I think I looked, I mean, I didn't have like a snaggle tooth or anything, but they were just not straight.
Okay, so you're from Los Angeles.
I am. I'm from North Hollywood.
Tell us, where in North Hollywood.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Where in North Hollywood? I grew up in North Hollywood in Valley Village.
Oh, wow.
The first 5 years of my life, I couldn't see. I was blind
until
I was six.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Then I had a dog, and it went, roof, and I woke up.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
I wasn't really blind. I just don't remember my childhood.
Yeah. I grew up off of Oxnard and Coldwater in North Hollywood, right by Grant High School.
Mm.
Where many a music video was shot. And interesting fact, I think a lot of episodes of Freaks and Geeks were shot at Grant High School.
That's
right
what
by
I heard.
My house.
Yeah. Pretty neat. Yeah. So what got you into the whole performance world of comedy?
It was kind of an accident. I was in college and I had a couple of roommates who wanted to start doing stand-up comedy. So we didn't really have anything at the college that we went to that offered that. So I just thought, well, why don't we just start a show? And it was called Everybody Wins. And it ran for like 2-ish years. And so I produced that. And then by the time we had our first show, we decided we needed a host. We didn't even think that that was something that we needed. So I just stepped up and I did it. And from then on, I started doing open mics and I really liked it.
Now, do you only do open mics at these alternative hip clubs where the guys are wearing skinny jeans? Or do you ever go to the Comedy Store where people are shit-faced and say, boo.
Yeah, I don't go to the Comedy Store too often, but I have done a couple shows there and I have enjoyed it in the Belly Room.
Okay, so you're more of an alt comic.
I guess so. I feel like the atmosphere in LA for comedy, it's, I don't know if you could define it as like club comics versus alt, because it's not really, you know, the 80s or the early 90s anymore. I think that there's a new sort of style and a new sort of landscape to it, but I can't quite.
Now, after every show, do guys come up to you and say you're funny? Could I take you out for a muffin? You know, what's your name? What's your middle name? What's your mother's name?
No, not too many, but I did have, when I first started doing comedy, I had a guy come up to me. I think like a handful of guys would do this where they would say, can I get your number? I want to book you on a show. And I was very naive, so I gave my number out to one person in particular.
Not so good, Julia.
Not so good. Well, because he said he named a specific show, and I was like, oh, sure, yeah, all right. But I mean, that was before I could be like, just hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah.
But
do you guys think you're older?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you could pull off a sexy 35-year-old nurse.
Oh, thank you. I've never heard that before, but
you could also pull off a 16-year-old Barbie doll.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Exactly. So you have the spectrum of the rainbow.
Proof that I've
made
it.
From your eyes. Proof that you made it. With dimples in her eyes and sparkles.
Yes.
Light as a feather. The most beautiful smile.
Thank you, Julia
Prescott, everybody.
Thank you.
So tell us about this show tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
It's going to be great. I think I left off. Oh, Dave Child and Josh Androsky are both going to be on it as well.
How do you know all these terrific comedians? Why don't you bring them in here at Skid Row Studios?
Well, I mean, give me a heads up next time and I will. They're all my friends.
I booked you a month ago.
Okay, come on.
All right, fine. I'll down the road, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, it'll be great. It'll just be a big bro night because I feel like everybody on the lineup is friends with everybody else and they're all very funny. And yeah, I'm just very fortunate to have funny friends.
So what's not funny to you?
What's not funny? I don't know. Name a context and I'll try and find something not funny.
All right, Andy Kaufman.
I find Andy Kaufman funny, but I guess sometimes here's something that I do not find funny. I think that experimental films are not funny. I went to art school my freshman year of college, and I majored in film.
Dude, you're getting hotter by the minute. You went to art school?
I did, for a very brief period of time in San Francisco. And I majored in film there and didn't think that that would translate to just experimental videos. And it was just experimental videos after another, like those video installations in like art galleries. I don't find that funny. So, but I guess they're not trying to be funny.
So who do you find funny? Obviously, you just avoided my question of Andy Kaufman. You went to experimental film, so you don't find Andy Kaufman funny.
But
you
no, find I do him find humorous. Andy Kaufman funny.
You do
funny.
Find Andy Kaufman funny. What about Bill Hicks? Let's go up the ladder.
Oh, I'm not super
familiar
with Bill Hicks.
These are guys that are so far from like your presence. You're like the cute, sweet, innocent love of the disco fever, the ball that spins, that sparkles everybody in their left cheek. And I like that, Julia, because I don't have that innocence. I used to. I lost it. I get it sometimes, and I lose it out the window when I'm in Echo Park passing by a bus.
It's easy to.
Smoke gets into my ears, and I cough.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your innocence.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's very attractive.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yes.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
So this show tomorrow night, you're going to be hosting it.
Yeah, I co-host it with Sean Perlman.
So do you just bring up one comedian after another, or do you do a little shtick and then bring them up?
We usually do a little shtick. We try to rehearse something, but it ends up just being us, you know, sort of dicking around. But we have fun, and we sort of talk about whatever's, like, relevant. You know, if, like, St. Patrick's Day was around the corner for one show, we talked about that. And so we do that at the top. It's about, like, 10 minutes, and then we just bring on each comic, and then sometimes we do a couple minutes in between.
Nice.
So now, we just try to keep it rolling.
Now, what does your act consist of? Let's break it down. Julia Prescott's here at Skid Row Studios on the Adamo podcast, and we're going to break down her act so it sells to all my millions of listeners.
Yeah.
Let's start from A. What's your first premise when you get up on stage?
My first premise?
Yeah, or not premise, but your first acknowledgement that you're here. Hi, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I usually grab the mic and I just say, you know, hey, guys, it's good to be here.
So you're very approachable.
I try to be. Very I think cool. You should establish, you know, being on their side pretty much. Like establish likability.
So let them like you now. Fuck with them later.
Excuse my language.
I know. I'm
really
aggressive.
Like
I'm angry. I took a bus.
It's okay.
Here. Yeah, and I rode my bike.
Yeah.
A little sweaty.
Yeah. No.
Excuse me.
I don't really like to fuck with audiences. I guess like the most that I would.
I made you say fuck on the air.
Whatever.
Oh, boy.
I do. I have
remember
kind of,
this podcast.
I do have kind of a potty mouth.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess is surprising because I wear dresses.
All right. So I know. Comedy like stand up doesn't really go over well on a podcast. But would you mind doing a couple minutes of your act? I'll be your audience.
I
know that's the most awkward thing that's ever happened.
It's super awkward.
But I'd love you to do 2 minutes of your opening act. I'll close my eyes and listen.
No, I mean, I could describe some stuff that I've been doing lately. Does that work?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, lately I've been opening with, I usually tell just stories from my life and I try to find the
humor.
Please,
can we get one story?
Okay, well, I'm getting there. I recently did a set at a church talent show. And I usually say, like, if there's any comics in the audience, I know the booker. She's my mother. And I was coerced to do it because I think she wants to, like, keep her cool mom status at church, which doesn't require much. Just requires, like, knowing about the Who and living through the 60s. But I did a set at this church talent show, and I was not the only stand-up on the bill. There was a 5-year-old in a top hat who told knock-knock jokes, and he fucking murdered. He just, like, he erupted the entire church like he was Dane Cook, and it was 98.
Really?
Yeah.
You like Dane Cook?
I did. I don't know if I like him too much now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this 5-year-old, are you going to book him on one of your shows?
I don't know. I mean, he certainly had the poise of a future comedian.
Nice but, word, poise.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. But yeah, no, that to me was super bizarre. And then my introduction, I think, you know, I was set up for failure because the guy introduced me with, and thus concludes the Christian part of the evening.
Oh, no.
Julia Prescott.
So you're a good girl. You grew up a Christian.
Yeah, I grew up a Christian. I mean, I'm a relatively good girl. I did have a little rebellious time, but... Sure. My rebellious time was even, like, not that rebellious. It was, like, being a big ska kid in, like, the early aughts. Like,
oh, no way. I listened to ska myself.
Oh, really?
Growing up here in the, you know, the suburbs of the California desert.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's a big California thing.
It was
yeah.
a big California thing. The Vans Warped Tour.
Yes, exactly.
You know, going all the way back.
Yeah, yeah. But I still think, I mean, I guess it was cool that I was going to concerts every weekend.
In Orange County?
In Orange County a lot of the time, yeah. But still, like, ska isn't the coolest, like, music scene to get into. Just because everybody is sort of acting like it's forever 1997, even when it's, like, 2004.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And they're wearing all, like, the checkered clothing.
Yep. And
like, they've got, like, the stupid haircut.
Yep.
And they're constantly talking about... Well, everybody's got, like, some weird, like, Jamaican accent that they slip into when they're talking about, like, the real shit, you
That's
know?
That's funny.
And so, it just, to me, like... It always seemed very dorky.
Mm.
And I accepted it because that's who we were, you know? We joined together in this music scene that, like, capitalized on loving one another and just having a good time. And yeah, it's like, I don't know, how much better can it get than that?
So name three of your favorite bands of all time.
Oh, the Slackers. They're a ska band, but they don't just do ska, like... there's many different kinds of ska. Like, a lot of people think, like, Third Wave, like, Real Big Fish, but they're not like that at all. They're more, you know, like, 60s soul-driven, I would even say. But they're amazing. God damn it. Now you're putting me on the spot. I can't think of many others.
What about the Aquabats?
I do love the Aquabats.
And I understand that you're a writer for their new show.
Yeah, I was. I worked
show,
on it.
TV
yeah.
show. What channel is that going to be on?
It's on The Hub.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a kid's show, and it's been doing really well, and yeah, season two, come on.
Now, they're the creators of Yo Gabba Gabba, Christian Jacobs, right?
Christian Jacobs, yeah.
Wow.
He co-created Yo Gabba Gabba with Scott Schultz, and they just finished their fourth season, and I couldn't be prouder.
Yeah, because I'm a huge fan of the Aquabats. They're so fun, and he
puts
on
that
fake mustache
and
everything,
yeah.
And blackens his tooth.
Uh-huh.
I understand that, what's it, Christian, he blackened his tooth because he walked into a club in Orange County when they were about to play a show as the Aquabats,
uh-huh.
and he saw on one of the posters somebody scratched out his tooth with black,
uh-huh.
and then he said, wait, you know, I'm going to do that on stage, and it became an iconic situation for his act. Yeah,
I had no idea. Wow, that's so funny.
Mm.
I know that hanging around those guys, you hear a lot of stories about, like, oh man, you know, early days of shows, and like, it takes a lot to put on a costume and go out on stage and you know, do your thing, especially when they're playing shows where it's like really mixed tone wise for the bands. And
sure.
I just remember hearing stories about them almost getting into like fights with like skinheads and stuff. Because,
really?
They didn't appreciate it. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I could see them being black. Sure. I mean, they're definitely fully uniformed.
Yeah,
right, that doesn't sound too well. But what I'm trying to say is that they're not accepted, say, in Middleland, Orange County, when they're wearing superhero capes, and they're a little radical.
They're a little radical. Yeah, yeah. I've always loved them, and just thought that, I don't know, it's such a good time when you go see them play. And
I love them too. Yeah,
yeah. I think that I've always loved their live show, and they would always do like fake fights with monsters and commercials, and so I think that, you know, how that translated to the TV show was really great. I think they did a really good job of the overall product.
Now, when you write on a show like the Aquabats Super Show on The Hub, I mean, what do you think of when you have to think of, like, you know, kids' humor, and you're performing every night for adults? I mean, how do you get your material?
Oh, well, I cut my teeth on writing for Mad on Cartoon Network.
You're kidding me.
I did, yes.
Oh, wow.
And that really helped me realize many, many things. First and foremost, that my sense of humor apparently is very adaptable to kids' entertainment. I like silly things. I like ridiculous things. And I like puns, and that usually helps in a lot of situations. Just like, you know, that kind of humor. And so when you're writing for a show like Mad or for the Aquabats, you just sort of have to think about... big explosions, high concept. Like, let's.
All right, I'm not going to go there, but I have a lot of wonders there, baby. Big explosions. Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean.
Red lipstick. All right. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know.
Big explosions.
And for the Aquabats, like, I was always a big fan of Adam West Batman. That's the TV show. Yeah.
Boom. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And so I feel like the show, whether they intended it or not, I feel like it emulated that a lot. So to take it to really silly places and to sort of brainstorm, okay, what villain are they fighting this week? Mm-hmm. You know, what do they do? Where do they go? And we could take it anywhere. And it was like a live action cartoon in a lot of ways because of that. So it was just a lot of fun. And the offices that we worked in, every wall was painted a different color. And it was just very colorful and great.
Now, you also work for the Ellen Show.
I do, yeah.
And what do you do for the Ellen Show?
I'm not a writer over there. I'm a travel assistant.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
So you book her flights to Bangkok.
No. That's her own people. But I do all the ground transportation for the celebrities.
And are you friends with Ellen?
No.
Does she know you by name?
No, she does not. She's
you
a very busy person.
You tell her that you're
person.
A writer for Mad TV and also the Aquabat Super Show?
I don't. Because it's a day job. And I don't want to, you know, mix that stuff. I don't know.
So if you didn't have to be working a day job, what would be your dream job?
I want to be like, I want to sell a TV show. I want to, you know, be like the head of that. Either that, at this moment in my life, I'd like to do that or write on like a network show.
Network show. Mm-hmm. What would be your dream network show?
God, I mean, I think if I ever did drama, probably Breaking Bad or Mad Men.
Now, what if you ever did drugs? What show would you write for?
Breaking Bad or Mad Men?
Got it, exactly. So what about Breaking Bad that's so attractive? I just worked with Bob Odenkirk on Sunday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the crooked lawyer. He plays Sal on that
show. Yeah.
And we got a little chat backstage, and he's a big fan of this radio show
here.
He's listened to a couple episodes, the one with Brody Stevens.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't quite understand Brody's aggressiveness on the stage, but yet he's a huge fan of Brody.
Yeah,
we had this
he's
big
great.
Conversation about Brody. I love Brody.
He's the
but
best.
But it's so interesting talking to this family man, Bob Odenkirk, mm-hmm. and knowing that he plays this real crooked lawyer on TV.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, Adam, this is my son." And I'm like, "What?" It's just trippy.
Yeah.
So you as a writer, I mean, you have to tap into different levels and of excitement and genres mm-hmm. of like what you are not. Like, for example, I'm a host on this radio show mm-hmm. and I play it like a host on the radio show.
Yeah.
I'm not playing necessarily, you know, the guy that was at the coffee shop mm-hmm. this morning looking at this lovely girl that walked in front of me. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Because that guy was silent.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean like when you're writing in other people's voices?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always really tricky. But it's just, you know, immersing yourself in like a workspace that mimics what that tone is going to be on the show helps a lot. And just, you know, really, really sort of researching different things that you could emulate in the show helps a lot. And you know.
You're very calm. I touch myself when I think.
Oh,
touch
really?
My breast a lot, yeah.
I get a really intense stare.
Really?
When I'm thinking.
I noticed.
Like,
I saw that right there. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I looked
I get a
at
really
you.
Intense
yeah.
stare. And so I think when I'm working in like a writer's room, people usually comment on it, how I'm like, I feel like, I don't know, I could stare a hole through the wall or something.
So what has been the highlight of your career so far in this young, marvelous career?
I think I've been very fortunate to have a couple highlights. I think I'm working on Mad was amazing and I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, there really isn't one specific moment. It's just sort of a collection of like, we would be working late into the night and we would have like a, you know, a little couch area with like a TV screen and sort of taking breaks and hanging out with each other. And it was a very small writer's
room. Do you smoke pot?
I do occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You look like the perfect good girl from Orange County.
Yeah.
I mean, pot is good too. But what I'm trying to say is you don't seem like a drug has been around your hair.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, that works to my advantage.
You are a businesswoman. That one time I had coffee with you in Echo Park, and you were using words in the industry that were way above me. Cutting teeth was one of them you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You had all these great vocab words coming out left and right.
Yeah.
Tumblr Express. Now it's just blowing away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think that's largely part to growing up in the Valley and growing up around the industry.
Now, do you have family connections?
Not really. I mean, my mom works at Disney, but she works in like the legal department at the Walt Disney Animation. And my dad, I don't really have a connection with him. But
No. Your dad. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh no. It's okay.
Okay, I was just playing with you. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. So what are you gonna do for Mother's Day next week with your mom?
Probably going to give her some presents and then make her a meal because it's just us. My sister lives in San Francisco, so, you know, we don't want to go out into the fray of, like, Mother's Day buffet or, you know, brunch or whatever.
Be the coolest girl that I've ever met. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you like my smile?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm moving my eyes. Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah, you're listening to Skid Row Studios, and this is the Adamo Podcast, and I have Julia Prescott, a wonderful, terrific writer, young talent in the comedy game, stand-up comedian, has a show tomorrow night. The show's name is?
Your Favorite Show.
Your Favorite Show. Where at?
The Little Modern Theater.
What time?
10 p.m.
10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, let's talk about how we met.
Okay.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
So, I used to be a tour guide originally. Mm-hmm. At Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank. I was a VIP tour guide. I was 22 years old, 23 years old. You know, and I used to do these tours for executives and, you know, all sorts of people to show them around this 110-acre studio lot. And it was amazing. It was an experience of a lifetime. So I got fired from that job. And at the studio system, you get 3 strikes and you get to go into different pools. So they put me in the photo lab. And in the photo lab, I'm doing, you know, absolutely nothing, but I'm taking orders of like Ocean's 13, their photos for their still photography on set. And I'm dealing with a lot of their production people. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. In walks this little tink girl by the name of Julia Prescott. And all eyes turned like dogs and wolfed at her like Italian boys smoking cigarettes outside of a gelato restaurant in downtown Los Angeles. And Julia's like, hi, I'm Julia. I'm going to write the greatest novel that man has ever seen. I'm Julia Prescott. And I was like, ugh, Julia Prescott. Why couldn't you just be like, hi? Instead, I'm going to write the greatest novel the man has ever seen. I'm Julia Prescott. And I'm determined and I'm 16 years old. All right, you were 18.
I was 18, yeah.
Okay, so anyways, that's how we met.
Yeah.
At the Warner Brothers Studio Photo Lab.
Yeah.
What was the year?
2006.
Wow, you remember.
Yeah.
Jeez. Now look at us.
Yeah,
you're a radio show. Mm-hmm. You're writing for television shows. Mm-hmm. I think that I could smell a little bit of glory holes success.
Yeah. I remember, okay, in response to the greatest novel ever, I remember us having a conversation where we were like, let's both write the greatest novel ever written. And we just started this like Word document where it would be almost like Exquisite Corpse where you do one page and then I do one page.
Yes.
I don't think anything ever came of it, but it was a good way to pass the time.
That was right when I was getting into my Kerouacing days of reading a lot. Uh-huh. And I would always read all these poetry books from the great San Francisco days. And I came to that studio and it was a complete opposite from corporate America to the free spirit on the street. Man walks around, drinks at bars, stays out late. And I was into that world for a while when I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to leave that job to go to New York City and hustle and bark for stage time. In other words, I had to pass out flyers on McDougal Street for a year to try to get at Sal's Comedy Club while Eric Andre walks outside in a red hoodie, 30 pounds heavier at the time in 2007.
Yeah.
And I always remember him saying, hey, what's up, man? And then now I'm in L.A. and time has flown. He has a TV show.
He has
two TV shows, Apartment 23, right?
Yeah, which is great. Yes. I don't know if you've watched it, but I really like it.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So I'm just saying, time flies and time
it's
can
amazing.
Also go up for the positive, not the negative. It's
Yeah. No, I'm a firm believer in that. I have a lot of hope for tomorrow, I guess, so to speak.
Tell us, what would your tomorrow be?
like for the next year or for the next 5 years?
How do you want your life to unfold in the next 5 years, sure?
In the next 5 years, I'd love to get better at stand-up and go on a couple tours. I'm trying to you know, piece together like a mini tour this summer. Because I, and anytime that I go out of town and I do shows, I absolutely love it. I want to do that, and I want to write on a major show. I want to sell a show and I don't know, development deal or something. But I that development deal, that's more like a 10-year plan. Sure. that's those are a lot of things. But yeah, I'm very determined, and I'm always working on something because I don't know. I always say this, and it's so cheesy, but I just don't want to be like unprepared for the final exam that is life. Like, I don't want to walk into a room and be told by somebody or asked, like, well, why didn't you do this? You know, I want to have a script ready, and I want to have pitches ready, and I want to have all that stuff ready to go.
I was once told that life has no script.
Yeah, I've never heard that, but
yeah, the guy from the Mother's an Invention. Mm-hmm. It was an old band Frank Zappa used
to
play.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm very familiar. I love Frank Zappa.
Yeah. So this guy, he's one of their guitar players, and he walks around Claremont in California. It's where I'm from. And I'll visit my folks out there once in a while. He's this hippie dude. He looks like, you know, he's falling off the edge of his life. Mm-hmm. But he's not. He's really with it. He just doesn't want to be bothered by society. I went up to him one day. I have been hearing about this guy and the legend. He knows everything about Frank Zappa. They're best friends. Frank Zappa's from Rancho Cucamonga, down the street from Claremont. And so I go up to him and I'm like, listen, you know, I really want to know a little bit about Frank, inside stories. And he's like, why do you want to know about Frank, man? Life has no script.
Whoa, mind blown. That's great.
Yeah, so that was it.
Yeah, I know. I really, it's so cheesy, but I do thrive on little like idioms like that. They really help me to get through the day and be like, yeah, man, like, just got to keep working harder.
So tell all the listeners here at Skid Row Studios in the downtown area, in the community, what's the hot shows to go see in stand-up around downtown L.A.?
Oh, around downtown.
You're up and coming in the scene. Yeah. And you would know.
Yeah. Well, tonight, if people are listening right now, Holy Fuck is happening at 9 p.m. at the Downtown Independent Theater. That's the show that Jeff Wattenhofer and Dave Ross run. And Jessica Ruiz books it. And she's amazing. And I think tonight Ron Lynch is on it and a bunch of other people. I can't remember. Eric Andre, I think. So that happens every Tuesday night. And then... there's a show that happens at the Last Bookstore. Have you been over there?
I have not.
It's great. It's really, really great. It's just a huge bookstore. I can't remember. I think it's off Main Street, and I want to say 5th.
But amazing. It's like an actual bookstore.
It's an actual bookstore, and they run a show there. I don't know how often. Like, I think
those are rare nowadays.
I know.
The laptops and the computers.
Yeah. But Matt Ingebrigtsen, who's a comic, and Chase Bernstein, who's also a comic, they run it together. And then Ham Clown used to be at the Alexandria, but they moved to the Little Modern, too. A lot of shows
I went to high school with Eric DeDorian, the guy who runs Ham Clown.
Oh, really? Yeah, I love him.
He was a year older than me. He used to be a baller, basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
Really nice guy. Gentleman.
Yeah, he's the best. He's just amazing.
So, small world. So, tell us about, like, your life experience behind the scenes in the comedy industry, in the world of television and entertainment. Mm-hmm. Have you dated any... famous comedians? Any comedians that you want to talk about? What's your love life?
My love life is non-existent. I have dated some comedians, but I don't know if I want to talk about that. I mean, I don't know if I want to talk
about
it.
You don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, well, because I just got out of a relationship like 3 or 4 months ago. So I guess comedian. It's a little fresh. Yeah, I was a comedian.
Were you jealous? Because he was getting more stage time than you.
Yeah.
You were.
That's exactly why. I was
comedians
like, listen,
get really
you're
jealous,
way too funny.
No, but you get insecure.
I get insecure, but I don't think I get jealous or stuff like, I mean, regarding stuff like that, not at all. I don't know. I've been around people that when Montreal callbacks are going out, there are like just a ton of people that are going crazy. But I'm very mellow about stuff like that. And I try to be very supportive. If I'm in a relationship with somebody and you know, they're funny and talented and all of that, I'm their cheerleader. I don't really like get jealous.
You're their cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll do that where if... Of course, like, you know, I believe in them and think they're funny. And so if I'll see somebody that I think they should know, I'll be like, oh, they're really hilarious. You know, I'll try to, you know, do the best I can to make them, I don't know, get out there and I don't know.
So that sounds about right. So tell us about your blog. You have this cool blog on a Tumblr site.
Yeah, it's a Tumblr redirect, but it has its own URL that you can go to. It's called ladybro.com, lady-bro.com. And we actually have a couple comics that are writing for it weekly. Josh Androsky is one of the contributors. Will Weldon, Lisa Beth Johnson, and then I forget who else now, but a ton of other people that are really, really fantastic. And yeah, we have over 1,000 followers on Tumblr, whatever that means, but we're going to try and, you know, keep on going with it and hopefully get more people to look at it. And we're just having fun.
Now, was it your idea to start this Lady Bro?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to make zines, which are like homemade magazines, in middle school and high school. And I used to love putting them together just because I don't know. I've always been like a writer nerd. I've always sort of been scribbling in a notebook. And
Look like a nerd to me.
Thanks. Yeah. I feel like it. I am on the inside. I loved writing these articles and having fun. And so I had this idea of, oh God, you know, I'd love to get back into zines. And then I thought, well, just start a website. Like, what are you doing? It's 2012. I've considered myself a bit of a lady bro always because I look like a lady and I
you
act
hang
like
out
a bro.
Around a lot of these comedians, the bros.
The bros, yeah.
So
yeah.
Female, you have more male friends than female.
I mean, I'd say that it's close to being even. I have a lot of great lady friends, but I do have a lot of like guy friends. But yeah, no, it's my attempt at personal branding. And then I just started inviting people to write for it that I thought were really funny. And every person covers like their own specific beat. Like Rachel Hastings writes political stuff. And Lisa Beth Johnson will write this segment that is a book review of somebody else's book. So she'll be like at a coffee shop or a library and she'll just sort of try to see if she could, you know, assess what the book would be about based on the person reading it, which is always really fascinating. And she's a great writer. So. Mm. Yeah.
So let's go to letter B. The intro of your act, we got that. You say hello, you're approachable. So halfway in your act, whether it's a 5-minute set or whether it's a 35-minute set, how does that middle ground look when you go up on stage? And what do you usually talk about in the middle chunk?
In the middle
of your
chunk?
Act?
Lately I've been talking about my neighborhood. We both live in Echo Park.
We do.
Yeah. So you know that it can be a bit dodgy at times.
I have a helicopter on top of my roof every night.
Yeah, no, me too. Right by the Citibank, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm right there.
I always call that the diehard Citibank because of the helicopter. And every time I see it launch, I'm like, the president needs his papers. But yeah, no, so it can be a bit dodgy. And I usually talk about how that is and how, you know, like I am sort of always telling myself that it's going to be okay because I pretend like I live in the theater of life, you know, and I sort of relate the different characters around my neighborhood as having these alter egos that are like tame and you know, totally okay to be around. Like the guy who is parked in his Toyota all day reading the newspaper is really the local detective hot on another case, you know, so I sort of create my own fantasy with it.
Nice. So what are those ultra egos? I mean, you kind of touched upon it.
Yeah.
Now, but like, define them. Like, let's be clear with what.
Oh, the alter egos that I list? I usually say that one, and then I say, like, the guy who hits on all the girls in my lobby is really, like, the local football hero known for his famous passes or something. And then I say, and the guy who lives below me is just a drug dealer. There's really no other way to put it.
Nice. Nice.
But yeah, I don't know. I live by myself, so I'm this young woman who lives in kind of like a sketchy neighborhood by herself. So
do you bring back guys a lot to protect you to feel safe at night at 3 in the morning?
No, I don't bring back guys.
A lot of females do that. They live by themselves. They always
really?
Have a new guy, whether it's a friend or whether it's a grasshopper. Yeah.
No. I mean, I've thought about getting a dog, but I live in a studio, so that's probably not going to work out. Mm. And I mean, like my apartment is small enough that I feel like, I don't know, somebody's going to protect me. Like everybody knows everyone else, so. Mm. It's all good, but still there are moments where I'm like, oh shit, like what's going on? Like sometimes I will hear a woman like crying the loudest I've ever heard a woman cry at 3 a.m. in our parking lot. And I always just, I assume she's
It's like a Cosby episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's super weird. And so that's usually when I'm like, okay, is somebody like with a penis going to walk out of our apartment building and like, you know, scurry this girl out so I can go back to sleep.
So is there a wild side to Julia Prescott that we don't know about?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you're so hip with the terminology of, what is it, zines?
Zines, yeah. Well, I mean, you're so witty.
But like, when you go home, do you just whip off your clothes? You're like, I'm Julia Prescott, motherfuckers, and I'm a little...
I don't know if
excuse
I've
my
ever...
Excuse my I didn't
that's
mean
okay.
that.
That's all right.
All right. I, and all your
no,
fans.
You meant it sexually.
I don't want them to,
it's okay.
I meant it in a direct way.
That's all right.
I go home and I touch myself. I touch myself. I touch myself and I look at myself as a big peewee boy, Herman. No, I don't. What the fuck?
I don't know.
All right, so let's get back to that. Do you?
No.
You go home and have an alter ego?
The beast comes out. I don't know if I have an alter ego.
Zines? What's that? Why did I say that today on the air? God damn it.
No.
I'm really Julia. No, I don't like those people.
No. Creeps. I mean, I don't know if I have... I mean, what do you want from me? Like a wild side?
Behind
closed doors.
Wild side.
I feel like I'm just... I don't know. I try to be... I'm a very honest person, and so that's, I think, a strength and a downfall to my personality
sure.
because people know how I feel about them like from the start. So if I don't like somebody, it's showing on my face. So,
we're getting a phone call. Hello, this is Adam O. How may I direct your call?
Adam?
This is Adam O.
Adam, I'm your biggest... fan.
Oh yeah, who's this?
This is Nancy.
All right, this sounds like a prank call to me. I'm with Julia Prescott, the world famous comedian, up and coming. She's 24 years old.
Oh, I love Julia. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
What is your name again, sweetheart?
My name is Nancy, but I'm here with actually with your a bunch of your fans.
All right, is this for real? Because this is the first fan that's ever called in. Okay, well, I'll cherish this to my grave. Thank you. And so, do you have any questions for my guest, Julia?
Julia, I heard that you work on Yo Gabba Gabba.
I worked with those guys, yeah.
What show do you work on, Julia, that's with the guys from Yo Gabba Gabba?
It was the Aquabats show, yeah. But what about Yo Gabba Gabba?
I love the Aquabats. How was it working with Christian?
It was great. He's the greatest. He's super funny, super charming, super nice, super talented. All of the supers.
That's great. I bet he's awesome. I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
So how's everything going there in the studio?
I'm sorry?
How's everything going in the studio today? Is it busy? Crazy?
Well, you know what? You're our first call on tonight's program. It's very calm and mellow, and we're really getting inside the head of the lovely Julia Prescott.
That's great.
So it seems like you do know a little bit about these shows Julia works with, or at least the creators of the shows. Do you have any other questions, young lady?
Do you get to wear the costume?
How old are you, 12?
I actually have worn some of the costumes from Yo Gabba Gabba.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. Out with this like bonus features on like the Yo Gabba Gabba Live LA DVD that they shot last year. And so they did all these little segments where it was like, you know, like FUFA, like getting ready for the show. So I had to like crawl into
that
all
is
of the
very
costumes.
Creepy looking. Do that
yeah,
again.
I know. I did. Well, you can't see it at home, but I did I had a weird gesture. But so I had to crawl into I think three or four costumes. And then I did little puppet things. And they're very sweaty, but it was very cool.
That's great. That's been so fun.
Yeah, it was super fun.
So where are you from, young lady calling in?
I can't say because I move and travel a lot, so I can't say.
Okay, it looks like a 203 number to me. I'm guessing that's probably in Arizona.
That is not Arizona, but don't disclose my location because I do have people that might be after me.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your call. Julia appreciates it.
Thank you.
Sounds like Julia gained a fan as well. Thank you, sweetheart, and keep listening to Skid Row Studios.
Thank you. You're great, and Julia, you too.
Oh,
have
thank
a great
you.
Night.
Thank you.
You too.
All right.
All right. So that's the type of fans I get, Julia.
That's great.
I'm unmasking
myself. She's really
sweet. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's like 14. Yeah, it's cute.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah, an Aquabats fan at 14.
But she didn't know her
right.
information, though.
Yeah,
she knew,
yeah. She
didn't
know she was well versed.
She was.
Yeah, I appreciated that.
She's had a little speech impediment.
Uh huh.
That's fine. I have my eyes droopy.
I can't see.
I have a speech impediment.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not on the radio, I'm like, hey, Julia, do you want to go out sometime to talk about zines? So it does change from show to show, the speech. Mm-hmm. Do you have a speech impediment? It sounds like you have a little bit.
I have a little bit of lisp.
A little lisp.
Yeah. But I accept.
What's your ethnicity?
I am Mexican, German, Irish.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's hard to place.
Let's talk about the Mexican in you. When does that come out?
In the sun, usually. I tan really easily.
That's a good one. And what about the Irish in you?
I mean, my only real like connection to being Irish, I went on a school trip to Ireland, and it's the only time that I've really been out of the country, now that I'm realizing it. And so when I went over there, my last name is English, Prescott. So when I went to Ireland, I saw all these like businesses that said like Prescott this, Prescott that. But like I realized instantly that I'm like the blue collar of like Irish English families, because it was always like Prescott dry cleaners, like Prescott car wash. So it just, I was like, where's the Prescott castle? Oh, it's not here. Great.
So are you into puppets? Puppets seem to be like my new invention of 2012. It's like, mm-hmm. I just discovered puppets this year. The reason why is because there's a lot of layers behind a puppet that I can't find necessarily in a girlfriend.
Yeah. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Do you ever go to like the build your own Muppet studio thing?
No.
There's a website.
Is it really?
You can build your own Muppet.
You're
it costs
me.
Like $200.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Summer interns going to build your own Muppet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's your nickname?
Jules, usually.
That's the world. Oh, God. My stomach just cringes when people have nicknames and they know how to say them like lightning.
Well, I mean, that's something it's not self-appointed. It's not self-appointed.
Yeah, but you knew it's Jules?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
Chapman University.
Did you get that from Chapman University?
No, my dad used to call me Jules.
Jules?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you named after a Beatles song?
I was.
You were?
Nailed it.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay.
What do you want? Like, my parents grew up in the 60s and 70s.
So your parent, I mean, she's a very liberal family.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister who is a freelance illustrator in San Francisco.
Do you visit her often?
Yeah. I just visited her a couple weeks ago. And I did it. It started as like a family visit and made it into a stand-up visit.
So who's the most like recognized, well recognized comedian that you ever had lunch with or dinner with or a one on one with?
Because
I know you you get around.
Yeah, that's definitely what they say.
Jules.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's just. I guess I don't know how to answer that.
Okay.
Just because it feels like everybody. It's hard to sort of appoint as somebody being like the most famous of like a group of friends, you know what I mean? But I guess, I don't know, I like, sorry, that's not a good answer.
No, it's fine. And do you have a spiritual side to you? Are you religious? I asked you earlier.
I'm not really religious, but I guess my only spirituality really comes out. I'm a camp counselor for a week out of the year. Is that surprising? Probably not.
It's not surprising, but
nope.
It's amazing.
Nope, yeah.
Jules, named after the Beatles.
Yep.
Parents grew up in the 60s.
Yep.
She's a camp counselor.
Yes.
Writes the great American novel. A hustler in Hollywood who
Trying.
Has the tongue of a lion. I like it, Julia. Welcome to the Adamo podcast.
Thank
Tell
you.
Us about your camp counseling.
So I've been going to this camp. It's a sleepaway camp, a YMCA camp, and I've been going to it since I was 8 years old, and I've been going
Very
to it every
cool.
single mm-hmm. year, and I've been a counselor at it since I was 18, and I take a week off work every year to go do this volunteer job, but they have this whole thing up there where, you know, YMCA used to stand for like Young Men's Christian.
Sure, there's a YMCA in downtown.
Yeah, and it's a great one. Yeah.
Are you a member?
I am a member.
To the downtown YMCA.
The downtown YMCA. Yeah, I take spin classes there occasionally. Not very often. Not very often, I'm going to admit. But I mean, our camp is lost that sort of religious side to it, but they still kept this program where, this is going to sound like a cult, but it's, they call them rags, where each rag you sort of wear around your neck and it means something. You sort of assign a challenge that you give yourself for each one, and you have to go through the steps and stuff. And so the first one is like a responsibility, and then the other one is sacrifice and benevolence, and you sort of go through. And that's sort of where I get, I guess, my spirituality, because they're all about becoming a better person. And, you know, the whole steps to it, it's like the second to last one is the purple rag, and it means to, you know, challenge yourself to living a high and noble life. And the last one is white, and it's lifetime dedication to like Christian service, which just means anything that you want it to mean.
Very cool.
But I'm on the purple one right now, and it's in my car, and I look at it every day and sort of remind myself like, hey, you know, don't be a dick, lead a high and noble life.
Yeah, I'm on the yellow one right now.
You are?
See the sun, get some tan.
Yeah.
Open your eyes, smile.
Yeah. So that's, to me, like, that's sort of where I get my spirituality, and when I go to camp, it's the most enriching thing that I do all year.
Very, very cool. So I have a show this Sunday. It's every Sunday at the Echo in Echo Park at 1 p.m. It's called The Breakfast Show with Adam O. And I would love to invite you to either be a character on the show on one of the episodes or just come check it out. It's a good old time, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's this Sunday at 1 p.m. Tickets are $10. And we are having a Mother's Day special.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be having free breakfast for everybody who goes to the show. And that's this Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Echo. It's The Breakfast Show. It's a live kids show in Echo Park. It's a good old time. It's Pee Wee's Playhouse meets Saturday Night Live for kids. We've been doing it for a while. We're working on the pilot. I'd love to invite all the listeners to this show, to that show. And Julia, I would love for you to come check out that show.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'd love to. I'll talk to my mom and see if she wants to involve that in our Mother's Day plans.
It would be a splendid time to have you. And you know what? We'll celebrate all the moms there. I'll be looking at all the single moms there. And I'll be telling all the moms that they have cute daughters. Julia, you're one of them. It's been an honor to have you on the Adam O podcast. I got to know you. Such a sweetheart, great talent, writes for cool shows, love the Aquabats, love Mad TV. And I'm a huge fan of Yo Gabba Gabba, the wackiness, the creation, how their story launched.
Yeah, no,
you
it's
know
an
about
amazing
that?
Story.
I mean, they did their pilot. They pitched it to all sorts of executives and networks. They all shut them down. So they put it online. It went viral in a week, 2 million hits. They all came back to them, all these different studios, and they went with Nickelodeon because they thought it was the best
fit,
outlet. So you have high hopes, Julia. But before we go in the next 5 minutes, we started that great American novel, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
Why don't we just flow right now? We could close our eyes.
Okay.
And let's make up the great Skid Row Studios Adam O podcast, Great American Novel with Julia Prescott, boys and girls.
Okay.
You take it away. I'll start?
Oh, no, you start.
All right.
Yeah.
So I walk into the studio. I'm cut up like a rag. I'm not rapping, but I'm writing a book like Jeremy Hansen's poetry at Skid Row Studio. It's underground. It's on the table. I don't need to hustle it or push it like a show. I have it. It's in me. Everybody's going to love it. It's the next thing. What do you got, Julia? It's the next thing like Bukowski. You just got to go around to the diners. You order a ham sandwich and the waitress looks at you in 35 years. It's a signature. That's the poet. That's the artist. That's the creator, and that's the inventor. Here's the microphone. I'm with Julia Prescott, a funnier version of myself, more innocent than myself, but she wears a dress and she looks like a doll. She's spinning. She's half Mexican. I love the Mexican in you. I'm not a fan of the white girls. Actually, I am, because they're the executive's daughters. But you know what, baby? What do you got?
I don't even know if I could even follow that, but I just want to say that sitting here across from you, it's amazing to me knowing that we started at this basement level office cut off from the rest of civilization. Yet, ironically, that was the only area in the whole studio that had a public line to the rest of the world. So we would just sit there all day doodling away on like our notepads, and we would get calls from the outside asking if we could pass scripts off to the main executives as if we were people that they would even take seriously. And that, to me, is the funniest shit ever.
And that is Julia Prescott. I'm Adam Moe. This
Thanks
has been
so much.
The Adam Moe Podcast. In the next minute, I'm just going to stare at you.
Okay.
First one to blink loses.
You lost.
All right. All right, guys. I'll see you next week. That's right, Julia Prescott. Thanks. I'm Adam Moe. Thank you, Julia.
Thank
Peace.
You, Adam.
Adam O, let it rain, let it snow, here we go, start the show, breakfast lot, take a bite, make it right, spaghetti, oh, no, wait till lunch, crunch my cereal bunch, Adam O, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, breakfast show.
You're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Adam O from the Adam O Podcast, and you're listening to Skid Row Studios. I would like to invite everybody to The Breakfast Show, a live kids show at The Echo at 1 p.m. Sunday, April 29th, 2012, at The Echo. This is a show for all ages, 1 to 100 years old. Tickets are $10 and $35 for a family of four. You could purchase your tickets at the door at the Echo. And remember to bring your best beard or mustache, because we're going to have a beard or mustache competition at the end of the show. And if you don't have a beard or mustache, kids, well, bring your best knitted beard or mustache. This is going to be a good old time, and I'll see you this Sunday, the 29th of April at 1 p.m. at the Echo for the live kids show, The Breakfast Show.
This is off the – I'm off the air now, but I hear you're crying.
Hello?
Okay, this is right where we almost left the studio, and we were like, yes, that was great. And now what could I do for you, young lady?
I just wanted to talk to Adam.
This is Adam. Oh.
I know.
Okay.
I'm in love. Hello?
You're what?
Are you alone?
I'm alone. Yeah, they all left the building. You can hear their footsteps right now.
I'm not on the air.
You're not on the air?
I'm not.
No. Everybody left. They all drank Coca-Cola as they walked downstairs and fell.
Oh.
Yeah, what's up?
I just wanted to let you know that I'm in love with you.
Okay, well, I'm in love with you, too. Keep listening to Skid Row Studios, and I'll see you next week.
1 to 10, you're a 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes my day. I'll leave this studio happy. On the subway, I won't have to look at homeless people.
I love when you wear blush.
I feel rich now. Thank you, sweetheart, and I'll see you next week. I wear blush? What?
You wear blush. And lipstick on your kid show, right?
All right. Yeah, that's great. All right, thanks very much.
Love when you put bronzer, though. You're a little white. Hello?
All right. This is getting great, but I got to go. All right?
So, where are you going?
Actually, they're all coming back in with bottles of water for everybody. Hear the footsteps? See you next week.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
And when will I see you again?
Next week, call in. This has been lovely with the wonderful Julia Prescott. Bye.
Hello? Adam? Hello?